Stu Does America.
Big announcement day. We've got a big one today. I'll just give it to you. I had Taco Bell today. It was fantastic. Chalupa. Chewy and crisp on the outside. That's actually not quite the announcement. We do have a bunch of stuff coming up today. Hillary Clinton is taking the stand for Bill, standing by her man yet again. We'll unpack the awkwardness there. We do have this big announcement. It's coming up here in just a few minutes. So stick by. It's going to be something I think you're pretty interested in if you listen and watch this show on a day-to-day basis. But we're going to start, though, by doing the 2026 Senate preview. Now, I kind of been talking about this for a while. If you have gone over to predictableshow.com and signed up, you've seen some of this before. We've got some updates to give you. But I want to kind of give a breakdown as to what we're looking at for the Senate in 2026. Obviously, a massive deal. If nothing else, think about the Supreme Court for a second, right? The Supreme Court is very, very important. We could see, very possibly, see a retirement from either Alito or Clarence Thomas in the next few years. What happens with that? If you lose the Senate, you're not getting your guy or lady, of course. So that is a very, very important piece of this puzzle going forward. So kind of let's start with the expectations here. And this is an important thing to say, just to kind of set the groundwork. And it's not a fun thing to say, but it is true. And I think you want to be smacked in the face with reality. That's what we're going to be doing here. Let's start with expectations. All things being equal, Republicans are going to lose seats in probably the House and the Senate. That's usually the way this works. Now, full disclosure, I do not want this to happen. I'm being honest with you, but it's important to look at reality and not just be optimistic in a partisan sort of way. So kind of cold to hard facts here. The party that holds the presidency almost always loses ground in the midterms. You know this. This is never good news. In the House, the record is absolutely catastrophic and brutal. It's a trend we've seen for almost a century. While it's relatively kind of set in stone, it's not always the case. But even when it's close, the party in power usually loses seats. Sort of in plain English, we normally see a bunch of carnage. This is what this is, a midterm House losses over, what, the past 20 elections or so. You've got 9 seats in 2022, 40 seats lost in 2018, 13 in 2014. In 2010, it was 63 seats, 30 seats in 2006, 1994, 52 seats. If you go back and look at some of these, 1974 was 48 seats, 1966, 47 seats lost, 1958, 48 seats, 1946, 45 seats, 1942, 46 seats, 1938, 81 seats. This is not fun if you're the party in power. I mean, you remember the Tea Party elections from 2010. That was 63 seats. Imagine losing 81 seats in one election. That stuff does happen, but it's usually almost always a loss. In fact, the House, the party that's holding the presidency has added seats in only 2 of the last 22 midterm elections. Just 9% of the time this happens. Now, if you happen to be a Republican strategist and you're watching this just saying, oh, I've got this. What are you talking about? We're going to buck that trend. Great. I hope it works. I hope we have all the people, all these great organizations that are out there trying to save the country. I hope they get everybody out to vote. I hope that does not happen here. But I am not optimistic about that future. Now, there's a little more optimism in the Senate. Not all that much, though. The president's party has only gained seats in 6 out of 21 elections, about 29% of the time. One election ended flat. And that's kind of where we sit as the baseline here as we look forward. By the way, there are exceptions to this rule. In 2002, right after 9/11, when you kind of had the national unity, everybody was all together. Everyone loved each other for a couple of weeks. I think that was, what was the reason? I think it was Geely came out and everyone loved it so much. So people were united. I can't remember exactly what the reason was, but that sort of dominated everything. The exception was 2002, and then again, there was an exception in 1998. At that point, people were like, is this trend changing? The answer to that has been no. In 1998, a lot of people say, well, it was backlash from the Clinton impeachment hearings. Maybe. It's possible. I'm not a big believer in that theory. I mean, looking back, 98 was only a few seats. I want to say it was six seats maybe in the House. It wasn't a big number. And if you remember, that's the next midterm election after the 1994 contract with America, Newt Gingrich sort of wipeout for the Democrats. So the fact that they got a few seats back in 1998 is not that big of a deal. The takeaway here isn't that election outcomes are predetermined. They're not. They're not statistically guaranteed. But what you do want to remember is the default gravity of the midterms pulls against the party in power. That is a real trend and a real thing. Now, we're setting the baseline here. We're going to be growing this over on predictableshow.com. We'll get much more granular with this stuff. We will give you specific races and candidates and look at all of this data. We'll give you individual markets. We'll do all that. We're not going to do that on the midterms today. And there's a simple reason for that is we don't even really even know what the candidates are. I mean, if you look at Texas, this is coming up on Tuesday. Early vote in Texas outpacing past elections. Mostly Democratic primary voters are turning out for that. Our girl, Jasmine Crockett. We've got some good news for you today. Jasmine Crockett leads James Tallarico by double digits in the Senate Democratic primary, according to a poll. 56-44%. You know I love this. Our girl Jasmine is coming to town. It's going to be a lot of fun, at least for a few months. And then if she wins, it's going to be hell for 6 years. But we'll think about that later. We're America. We don't plan ahead. Okay? What do we want right now? We want Jasmine. And then we want her to lose horribly in November. The Democrats are posting early fundraising edge in big Senate races. This is not good news. And it pushes against... It kind of pushes toward what we've been talking about here and against the good outcomes for Republicans. We don't know how this is going to turn out because we don't even know what these candidates are and who's going to win the election. Like Texas, for example, what the Democrats say that they want is a Tallarico win because he's more electable in a state like Texas than Jasmine Crockett. Well, Tallarico is a bore. I don't think he's a good candidate. He's kind of like a worse Beto. But a worse Beto might be a better option to win in a state like Texas than Jasmine Crockett, which, by the way, I'm not saying that. That's what they're saying. I love Jasmine Crockett. I think she's fantastic. But candidate quality really does matter a lot. There's a reason unknown Democrat and unknown Republican always do well in the polls. It's because they haven't been, you know, caught sleeping with a Chinese spy yet. Right. So we don't know what kind of slop we're going to get with these candidates. We can pretend a year in advance that we know every single outcome. We don't. And that's, of course, when everyone likes to make their predictions really bold. A lot of them don't ever get revisited. That's one of the things we do when we talk about these things. We try to revisit with them. We look at how we did. We try to learn from how we did. So we're not out here misleading you in the future. Now, the House, if you think of the House as sort of like vibes, right? This is national vibes. It's pure vibes, right? It's big mood swings. It's short attention spans. It's a collective case of ADHD on the political side. And we get sick of whoever's in charge, you know, after like 18 minutes. That's really what we do. So people come in, they come out, the House goes up, the House goes down. It's every 2 years, every single one of them is available for election. The Senate, of course, is different. The Senate has a predetermined starting point. You think of it, it's almost like a football game where the scoreboard already has numbers on it when you walk in. Only one third of the seats are up at any given time, which is why Senate results often don't track with the House results, even in an ugly national environment. In the Senate, the scoreboard is, you know, not blank. So you have to factor that in. Some years you could lose a seat and you're like, that was great. What a wonderful win for us. We lost one seat. Other years we got three seats. That sucked. Right. It is. It often comes down to just the map, what seats are available. So let's take a look and see how the map looks right at this moment. We start with seats that are locked. This is the floor for each party. The first step is to determine which seats aren't even in play. And that's what we're looking at here. On the Democratic side, 34 seats are locked and not even up for election. On the Republican side, it's 31 seats. So the Democrats start with a small lead before we even begin the game. This is the floor. Everything else builds on top of it. Then we get the next one. These are for election, but they're solid. They're in one category or the other. Kind of the yawn elections, you know, like, whatever. These are races that aren't locked, but also shouldn't really be all that competitive. If your party is losing solid seats, you might be going the way of the Whigs. I will say, you know, we do the on this show. You'll remember us doing the magnets on the board where we place all the states. We have a column for solid Democrats, solid Republicans. We have never missed a state that is in the solid category. Not one time in the history of predicting elections have we ever missed one state that was in the solid category. Now, you know, states move in and out of the solid categories. I'm talking about the last, the pre-election push. We basically know who's going to win those states. Sometimes they're closer than we think. Sometimes there's bigger blowouts than we think. But we basically know these things. We will look at some of these, and I'll give you a couple of exceptions as we go through this. But solid Democrats are 9 right now. We have Colorado, Delaware, Illinois, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, a little bit of an asterisk there. New Mexico sometimes can get a little competitive. Oregon, maybe a little bit of an asterisk. Rhode Island and Virginia. Those are the Democrat states. There's 9 of them that are in the solid category. Again, if these were in the solid category the day before the election, I would consider it basically a lock. Right now, this far out, you can't do that, of course. Solid Republicans, 16 of them. Are you ready for a big fat list? Here we go. Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Idaho. I mean, the fact that Florida is in a solid this far out really shows how that has changed to a red state. Largely, I think DeSantis-based, very positive, though. Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana. Sometimes can get a little iffy in Montana. Nebraska's one, you know, honestly, like probably should be maybe even in the leaner category. But right now, we're going to put it in the solid. Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Wyoming. So 16. This is a big kind of part where this game changes a little bit. If you add those to the lock seats, the scoreboard looks like this. 47 Republicans, 43 Democrats. So Republicans go from being behind to being up in just one round here. Now, we get into more interesting races now. Republicans, though, just here with the easy stuff, are only 3 seats away from getting the Senate. That's a good place to be, I will say. They only need 3 plus J.D. Vance to hold the Senate. Then we get into leaning seats, and it does get a little weird here. Now, again, to kind of give you this again, to give you the disclaimer, there's not really enough information yet to know where leaning states are at this point. We'll eventually break this down to individual races and add all the additional categories. We'll have all the behind-the-scenes stuff. We can't do this now because politics is chaos, and you don't know what's going to happen. You never know when a rich guy is going to casually include your favorite candidate's name in an email about an island. Seems to happen a lot these days. So a single bad headline can really reshape everything overnight, so we can't be too sure of ourselves this far out. But we do have no real idea what nonsense is ahead of us, so we're just going to look through it right now and just say a moment in time, snapshot, this is where we are. Here are the leaning states that we have. Democrats have only 2, Minnesota and New Hampshire. And then Republicans have 3, Ohio, Iowa, and Texas. Yeah, Texas, leaning, only a leaner, as we talked about. The updated scoreboard brings us to 50 Republicans and 45 Democrats. Now, there are some toss-up races remaining. We have 5 races left. I'm considering those toss-ups. Kind of makes sense to have a broad view of toss-ups this far out. And honestly, we could probably put all the leaners in the toss-up category right now. That's not fun, though, frankly. It's just not a lot of fun. So we're going to put in some real toss-ups. Georgia, Maine, Michigan, North Carolina, and, Alaska. Yeah, Alaska is a really weird state this time around, and we'll get into that more detail as we get closer, but Democrats have a strong candidate there, Republican not all that popular in Alaska. That makes you a little bit nervous, but the big picture here is looking at all of this, we have the breakdown. 45 Democrats, 50 Republicans, and 5 toss-ups. You look at this breakdown, and the overall picture is pretty clear. Republicans should maintain control of the Senate. Might not be pretty. They might lose some states they shouldn't lose. But even with all the challenges of history kind of stacking up on top of each other in a difficult year, Republicans should be able to hold things together. And for the moment, that's generally what the main markets and the prediction markets reflect. Poly market shows about a 60% chance for Republicans to hold on. Now, look, that's not very high. At first glance, you'd say Republicans might feel pretty good about this. I mean, they're projected to win about 3 out of every 5 times. That's good, right? Sure. But relative to the map that they have and that they're defending, this outcome would be suboptimal. You want this to be a lot higher. Now, up till now, I mean, look at this, that graph here for a second longer. Look how much this has narrowed over the past couple of months. Right after the election in November, leading up to it, you had a real positive. It kind of started narrowing, and it's narrowed ever since. 60-40 is all we have. Now, up till now, we've been focused on the understanding of the upcoming election, kind of the baseline, and what outcomes are most likely. This is the thing that's going to affect your everyday life, right? If the Senate is controlled, you're talking about Supreme Court, you're talking about important bills that go through or don't. Now, when it comes to your wallet, that might be a little bit different, right? We're going to shift gears and talk about market specifics because the election is 10 months away, but that doesn't mean we can't find some early indication for investments that might be interesting. One quick thought in mind, and this is a way to think about it from the prediction market standpoint. Right now, the only election markets worth touching are those expected to move in the near term. This is why a lot of times the most exciting one to talk about, the one everyone wants to talk about, is the presidential election in 2028. Who's going to get the nomination, right? And that's an understandable thing to be focused on. It's very important to our country. It's the next huge election ahead of us past the midterms. So let's talk about it. And that's true. But when you're talking about investing your money, putting money in Gavin Newsom at 30% is maybe not the right thing to do. Because we're not going to know if he has that that nomination until when? Summer 2028? So you're talking about locking up your money from 2026 all the way till summer 2028. And when he gets that nomination, he's only going to shoot up to probably 50% or so, right? He's going to still only have 1 in 2 chance of winning that election. So how much profit is there to be made? If it's only 20% over 3 years, is that worth it? Or two and a half years or whatever it is. So if you think their market might remain generally stable, you could take your money, you could put it other places and come back to that long-term election. So if you think about it this way, if you're going to make 30% in 10 months, that's a nice return. But it's not nearly as good as making 20% in 2 months. Because in the first scenario, your annual percentage yield, if you think of the APY, we talk about that a lot in prediction markets because you need to be able to kind of categorize this because it's not just whether you win or lose, it's how much time it takes for you to get your money back. So your APY is 37%, which is nice, right? But a second scenario where we're talking about making 20% over 2 months, if you compound that, that's like 200%, right? That's a much nicer return than getting 30% over 10 months. So what we're looking at now is value that we want to catch now because it might go away later. Do we think we're getting a discount, right? How do we look at that? With that in mind, here are a couple, and I'm going to give you one that has already started to dry up, honestly. These are potential opportunities that might be worth beginning to build a position in. And I do think that the Democrats have a really good chance to win the House. Full disclosure, this brings me no joy whatsoever. But an investment made in the Democrats to take the House gives you right now about a 16% return. There are 86% chance to win. That's really freaking high. I will say, I think the value has all but dried up here. When I first started writing about this and talking about it, it was not this high. So the way we come up with this return, 14 cents profit on an 86% investment gives you a 16% return. And the annual percentage yield is about 25%. That's a good return. But I don't know that there's much value here. Like, I don't know that the Democrats have more than an 86% chance to win. When I first started talking about this, this was like in late 2025, or actually it was earlier than that. In late 2025 is about 70%. I love this position. Back around Election Day in 2025, when it was hanging around 60%. It's gone from 60 to 86. You see how this value can dry up. When you have a market like this, you want to move a little bit early because it might go away. It's highly likely, though, I will say, that there will be an opportunity to beat the annual percentage yield on a market like that before November, right? You're going to be able to jump in on this maybe in the summer or a little bit later when it looks like, hey, a good burst of news happens for Republicans and this moves back the other way. Now, I want Republicans to win. I'll be rooting for that to win. Even if I invest in the Democratic position, which I do have investments in that position right now, I will be happy to lose that money. Again, I always think of this as a backup. Making money off of these markets is great. I want the better outcome for the country, number one. But if I can make a little money as a fallback or maybe even as an additional win, if a Republican's going to win, I love those positions. You might feel weird investing against your own side, right? You might say, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Let me give you another one. This is probably, it's among my three favorite positions for this election coming up in November. And it is the Republicans winning the open Iowa Senate seat. This is a seat currently held by Joni Ernst. She's not running for election. And it is a state that has been trending massively red over the years. Republicans in the state have done a good job turning people out for these elections. And it really should be a lock for Republicans, even in a tough year. Now, that's in theory. Polymarket will right now give you a chance to pick up the Republican win in this race at about 65%, which, to work out the math for you, it's a 54% profit over, 8 months. Now, that works out to 35% earned on every 65 cents you invest. The APY on that is 78%. You might notice that being a little higher than your checking account these days. A 54% return over about 8 months. What is happening here seems to be related to the Democrats in Iowa feeling a strong candidate for governor. Iowa, there's a real chance Democrats win the Iowa gubernatorial seat. I was talking to Steve Dace about this in the hallway after our State of the Union. I was like, hey, I've been telling people about this Republican Senate race. Is that a risk? How are you seeing that race? Steve is the guy in Iowa. He looks at this at a granular basis. He really knows the state incredibly well. He even said the candidate that looks like they have a chance to win is not loved by the base of the Republican Party there. And the Democrats have turned out a pretty strong challenger there. Again, this is an open seat, was held by a Republican. This is causing optimism generally for Democrats in the state. They're pouring money into the state of Iowa right now. There's been special election results around the country. Democrats are looking at a positive year. So, you know, this might be a great year for them. But a lot of this also might just be hopium for the Democrats when it comes to winning the Senate race. I really like that race a lot. I think this is a good chance to put a little, build a little position there. It's not impossible to see an upset in Iowa. We've seen them before, Obama era, there was a bunch of them. But if the Democrats are winning in Iowa in a Senate election, this is catastrophic territory for the GOP in this election. I hope we don't get there. So Republicans are more in trouble if we kind of look at the review. Maybe more in trouble than they should be, given the playing field, but they still should be considered favorites in the Senate, even with the structural challenges that they have. They'd still have to really choke to blow it. However, I will say, never underestimate the chances of Republicans doing just that. So all week, we've been teasing a big announcement on this program. And get ready, it's time. This show started in 2020, right before COVID started, over 6 years ago now. We started the show with the idea that we're just going to have some fun. We'll talk about the stories. You know, it'll be a blast. And then the whole world shut down like 3 weeks later. And it's been a crazy ride. We've gone through multiple elections. We've had, I think, done a lot of really great stuff and a lot of great moments. As you know, I was on the Glenn Beck program all of that time on the radio side. And as I got to the end of the radio show, I launched this new project. I've talked about it many times, called Predictable. Go to predictableshow.com to get involved in that. It's a show, I'm kind of talking about the news as it relates to prediction markets. And so that is kind of a big effort in my life right now. And we're in the middle of building out kind of a media company who, you know, talking about these prediction markets. It's kind of a big operation. It is much more work than I even imagined it was. And so we've really had kind of interesting thought process about what we're doing here on The Blaze. I love doing the show with you. I love you as an audience. You guys are like just the greatest. And we've built such a great community here, such a great group of people as we've gone through the last 6 years. And so like my thought was like, I really want to continue doing this. Like, I really like doing the show. I really like love coming in here and talking to you every day. And I don't know how, you know, given that the other project is really, it's going to be talking about the news, but it's also kind of focused on this prediction market angle. I don't necessarily have the window to just rant and make fun of people and do the things that I've done here. over the years on that show. So I was trying to figure out, like, what can we do? What can we do? And the Blaze, by the way, I want to make sure everybody knows this, because I will say this, the space on the conservative side is, it's a mess at times. Like, a lot of the people, and you know, they're great people in this business, and a lot of great companies, a lot of great places to go do shows. But, you know, it can be really messy, and you know, not everybody's always out for your for the best for you as a person, as a commentator who comes on and talks about this stuff every day. And so the Blaze has been a great partner for us going back, obviously, from the very beginning. I've been here since the very beginning, and they've been awesome and supportive. So I went into conversation with the Blaze, trying to figure out, like, what can we do next? Like, you know, is there something that we can figure out? And one of the ways I was thinking about it is, like, we launched this project with the idea of doing America. And as I've gone through the 6 years, one thing I've realized over those 6 years is that it might be impossible for one man to do all of America. I needed someone else to come in and help me do America on a daily basis. So, coming soon to Blaze TV, Stu and Dave do America. Dave Landau is coming aboard. I cannot be more excited about this. This is going to be so much fun. You know Dave Landau from Blaze TV. You know him from basically every major show when it comes to comedy, going on all the big podcasts and appearing everywhere. He's hilarious. I love him. Dave Landau, comedian and author of Party of One, a fuzzy memoir, joins us and is joining the program. Dave, welcome.
I am happy to be a part of it. It's hard to just do Dallas, so we're going to do America. I grew a mustache for it, so maybe I thought it was a different kind of show.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see what we can do, because America, as we know, is getting better every day.
It sure is. And luckily, I've noticed over the years, while things do seem to crumble at times and the civilization we once knew goes away, there is a lot to make fun of in that process. And it's the only way I feel like you can stay sane, Dave.
It is the only way you can stay sane. Otherwise, you have to focus on the reality. And if you take time to do that, it's worthless. So the best thing to do is just mock everything. And I'm happy to be a part of that.
So, Dave, I know you're doing stand-up comedy all around the country. You're going to be coming into Dallas. We'll be doing the show together starting in, like a few weeks. So we'll have a few more weeks of time before we get that started. We're going to, you know, redo the studios and do all the fancy stuff you do to kind of launch a new project. But man, I'm really excited about this. It's been great having you on. I don't know if you know this. You are our 8th most frequent guest on this program.
Which, is that true?
Yeah, which is kind of, you didn't really start coming on until a few years into the program. This is I think your 21st appearance on this show. So congratulations.
Is it really?
8th place. I mean, what does that mean to you?
I mean, it means a lot. If we've learned anything, 8th place counts just as good as 1st place. Mm-hmm. That's what I teach my kid.
Mm-hmm. You'll get a trophy.
I don't.
It's in the mail.
You get a ribbon. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind a ribbon. A ribbon is nice.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where ribbons. you have the 1st place, 2nd place, 3rd place. Like, I see this at my daughter is in gymnastics, and they have you've got the 1st place, the gold, and then the silver, and then the bronze, and then this sort of amalgam of copper and something else has everyone from 4th to 18th.
Fortunately, my son is not in gymnastics, or I would cease to be his father.
Right. Well, that's probably.
I'm very open-minded, except for if he does gymnastics.
It's your one. Well, you've been holding up on that. You've holding that line for a very long time, and I'm proud of you for doing it.
I'm a dynamite athlete, yeah. And I want him to take after me. It's why he's so great at baseball, football, same as I was. Great at it.
Right. You know, I did read your book, and I don't remember too many stories about your exploits as, you know, All-State. I don't remember reading that. Did you just leave it out?
You know, I'm equally as good at sports as Rudy.
Yeah. Okay.
That, if you really break it down, I just didn't bother a coach to put me in for a whole season and then have Joe Montana completely collapse every word I said. But yeah, I'm equally as good.
There we go. You are, you're a big law enforcement supporter, right? Despite all of your brushes with them in the past.
Yes, now I am.
Yes.
It's very hard to support the people when you're trying to hide drugs and alcohol from them. Mm. But now that 16 years sobriety, I do understand their purpose.
Yeah, they do have a role in our society. It's nice of you to acknowledge that. New York doesn't seem to believe that, though. We saw this footage of NYPD releasing images of four people wanted for questioning after officers hit with snowballs. Now, I guess like this was a snowball fight organized on social media, which, again, the emptiness of our lives kind of maybe is illustrated there. But when they started the snowball fight, some police were there. They started getting pelted in the face over and over again. And it really does look like they don't even see them as people. They do not even they look at them and just as these disgusting animals that are oppressing them all the time. And I do feel like half of our country is getting there.
They are. I think the problem, too, is if you notice, they don't know how to make a really good snowball. Being from Michigan, you want to have that ice ball. Like, I think the cops should get a wheelbarrow and just fill it with snow ice balls. Just get them wet, wait until they're very icy to the point that they are hard baseballs, and then counterattack.
Mm.
That would be the mature and responsible thing to do.
It's an attack that is very formed to the attack you're receiving. If you make the snowballs better, and I mean, that's not your fault.
No, I really don't understand where we're going in this country, where we've gotten the idea that you can just pull up to like a pullover or an ice raid or just insert yourself in the middle of police activity and start questioning them, and let alone when there's a blizzard chucking snowballs at them. I feel like it's probably going too far, but I feel like it's a lot part of a much larger plot that really creeps me out and scares me, because I think they want the cops to quit. I don't think they want the cops there. I think Mom Donnie is ridiculous, and it's fun to watch him destroy a city in months.
Yeah, it's amazing too that they, you know, that you look at the, we were talking about this the other day, where the Democrats went through this election cycle where they were saying, oh, we don't want ICE anymore. We don't, screw the police. They kept saying this during the George Floyd era. And that wound up burning them so badly that Donald Trump is currently the president of the United States, right? And
right.
The second he's back in there, they're now releasing a bill called the F-ICE bill, right? Like they're like come up with the fancy acronym to give the F-ICE bill. They have they're throwing snowballs at police officers. Like they're right back to where they were in that period. This burned them last time. Does it burn them this time?
I don't know why anybody would think this would have worked out, but from the trash heaps to all the snow to people using all of Times Square as a prayer mat, and now attacking police, it's going to be good fodder for our show.
I agree with that. I agree with that. It's going to be an interesting one. And I always feel like people are like, there's always these accusations that like some of these Democrats are secret Muslims or something like that. These things are always flying around the internet. But like I that sort of stuff never connects with me because I don't think any of them are dedicated enough to anything to pray five times a day. Like
they're way too
selfish for that. Yeah.
Oh no, they'd be praying to themselves. I mean, they're basically upset that $9 billion went missing and then it was found. And now across the country, it's let's go after the police and say ICE is bad. While in Mexico, look what's going on in Mexico. You want that element to come across the border? I mean, they're already here. And in the 90s, I'd be perfectly fine with cocaine coming over, but I'm against it now.
That's a good flip-flop, just so you know, Dave. I know sometimes people flip-flop, they get criticized for it. That's a good one. I want to give you one more story here before we go. A man from Western Kentucky has allegedly, he's been accused of something. They found him covered in fur. And
okay.
The accusation is that the reason he was covered in fur is because he had just had sex with a deer carcass. Now,
I'm not from Western Kentucky.
No, that's true. That's true. And you might dress
as a different guy.
Yeah, different guy. I know you might dress as a furry occasionally. This is not the accusation. I'm not bringing something about you, Dave. This is this man apparently going through some tough times. I don't know. It seems to be there's a little bit of evidence.
Well, tough times to you. It could be the best time for him.
Good for him, but I don't think good for the deer. I feel.
Is the deer dead?
Well, the deer is dead, but I mean.
Well, who are you hurting?
I know. That is an argument. I don't know if it's a good argument, Dave. But
it's free meat. You know what I'm saying?
I don't want to get into all the mechanics of this, Dave, but sure. It feels like if you're going to do this, and by the way, we do not, on the new Stu and Dave Do America program, do not advise you to do this. But if you were to do it, it feels like there are many ways you could accomplish the task that you're looking to achieve without covering yourself in fur, right? Like, you got to be really into it to be covered in fur.
You really have to. I'd say necrophilia is one thing and bestiality is one thing, but to combine them into one thing is amazing, to have both of those dreams come true for yourself. I think what he did was wrong, but we got to admit he's a go-getter and he gets the job done.
I will say, Dave, you mentioned the combination of necrophilia and bestiality is quite impressive. That might be part of the new slogan of the new show. We're combining two things together into one even better thing.
Beastophilia.
Beastophilia. We'll get into a little work. We'll have to have the Blaze maybe workshop that a little bit, but I think
you don't
we're on
think
the right
track. Like it?
Probably not. Dave Landau, comedian and author of Party of One, a Fuzzy memoir. By the way, Fuzzy, interesting that you put in Fuzzy after we just talked about the man covered in hair. But you will be coming on this program as a, I don't know, we're doing the show together now. This is going to be great. It's called Stu and Dave Do America. It is coming soon to Blaze TV. I think you're going to enjoy it. And certainly we need a program to just be able to laugh at the nonsense of the world. And we will be doing that every day. Dave, this is awesome, man. I'm really excited to get started.
I'm excited too, Stu. And I want to say I love that picture. It's the best picture ever taken of me because it's not real. But I enjoy it. I'm glad somebody thought I was that good looking. And this looks like it's like the new Miami Vice.
Oh, I like that. That's true. It kind of gives those vibes, I will say.
It does.
And I saw the picture. They sent me several versions of that, but every one of them used that picture. Like, that is this... Is this a legendary photo of you that they just put in every single promo?
Well, they took the antlers off.
Okay. That's a whole nother story.
Whole nother thing I do.
Dave Landau. Hey, can you give us a quick update on where you're going to be if people want to see you live?
Yes. If you go to DaveLandau.com, I'm going to be in Georgia and South Carolina this weekend. Dave's coming up in Michigan and some other places as well. DaveLandau.com. And yes, please check out my book and our new show, Stu and Dave Do America.
All right, Dave, thanks so much for coming on, man. See you soon.
Thank you, my friend.
So how about that? Dave Landau joining the program. Stu and Dave Do America, coming soon to a YouTube page or Blaze TV subscription near you. And podcast as well. So we'll be doing that starting up here in a few weeks. Also, I should also announce the other part of the announcement, which is we're also adding for a third person, Hillary Clinton. So Dave and Stu and Hillary Clinton coming. Probably not the Hillary part. Hillary Clinton, though, is in the news. She's tied to the Epstein files. Shockingly, a Clinton tied to the Epstein files. Who would have thought? Now, she basically came out with her statement and said, I didn't do anything. I didn't even meet the guy. I never even met the guy. And I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I certainly don't think that Hillary Clinton was hooking up with the underage girls. Who knows in this world? Maybe she was. I've heard that they were eating babies. I don't know. Maybe they were all just having baby feasts. I don't know what her tie is to Epstein. I do know that Epstein was very closely tied to the Clinton Foundation, and obviously Hillary was tied into that. It's hard to believe they never met each other. Like, that's the type of thing you only want to say if you're super sure. Because if we have a picture that comes out in 2 days that they were them standing next to each other grinning that isn't AI generated, that's going to be a problem for her. So you got to be very careful when you say such things. We will see how that plays out. Now, ICE, I was told, by the way, Trump was going to get ICE around all the polling booths and was going to pick up all the might attack anyone who voted Democrat on their way into the polls or out of the polls. Apparently, that's not happening. ICE not being deployed to polling places for midterms, according to officials. That is not a surprise. But here we are in a world where that is now, I guess, shocking probably to half the country. They'll probably just say they don't believe it. Right. But that is that's the world we live in, where people are constantly misled. They live in their little bubbles. They don't realize that actually there's plenty of really good ICE agents out there doing good work that we need done. You know, all the time we talk about people who were in interactions with the police that may have ended terribly. You can argue back and forth on whose fault some of these were and how that all played out. But what we never seem to get to is the fact that a lot of these people who are being arrested and thrown out of the country are people who committed those types of crimes, but much, much worse. Rapes, murders, you know, all sorts of property crimes, sexual assault, beatings, all these things. These people getting picked up on the streets, no one cares about. You know, at the very worst, you would say there's a trade-off, right? Maybe there are some of these violent incidents with the police that turn out, or with ICE that turn out poorly. But at the very least, you have to also acknowledge the upside of removing all these terrible people from our country, which many of them are. Not all, but many of them are. Vance and Oz have announced plans to pause funding of Medicaid in Minnesota. This is a fraud probe that has been going on for a while. It's been gaining prominence more recently with some, you know, YouTubers drawing attention to it. This is a big deal. Of course, Tim Walz is out there saying how this is going to ruin their state. It's going to be the worst thing that's ever occurred. But you can't keep throwing money at an organization that's allowing it to be stolen. And the first step is to stop sending the money. Figure this all out afterward, and that's what they plan to do. And U.S. is also warning Iran about their reluctance to discuss weapons in a big, big problem as fresh talks begin. We have a lot of assets over there. It looks like enough to go into a war. And Trump is saying, hey, you should be able to say the words, we're not going to have a weapon. What's fascinating about this is, like, it's only words. I mean, if I'm Iran, the approach I take is I'll say anything right now to stop this invasion. I'll say anything. Yes, 100% we're on board with you. We all know they're not going to do the things that they say. Just come out and say it. Give Trump a win and hopefully he goes away. Now, I don't know if Trump's going to believe that stuff, but that's at least the attempt I would make if I were Iran. Right now, they don't even seem to be saying the right things, which is even more shocking and disturbing. So in case you missed it, big announcement on this program today. Yes, it's true. I'm going on vacation next week. That actually is true, but that wasn't the big announcement. The big announcement is we're bringing Dave Landau aboard here on the program. And Stu Does America becomes Stu and Dave Do America, coming soon to Blaze TV, along with YouTube and podcast. We'll give you all the details on where to find it and everything in the coming weeks. I think we're going to probably start it up early April-ish, maybe late March, somewhere in there. We just have to put everything together. We've got studio stuff to do and all that stuff. Dave's awesome. If you don't know him from Normal World here on Blaze TV, he also is, he's been on Rogan a bunch of times. He does stand-up comedy. He's been on Kill Tony. He does lots of great stuff. Hilarious guy. He's been on with Greg Gutfeld as well. Great stuff. And then starting soon, Stu and Dave Do America.